1016 SEN, Melbourne's home of footy. This is the Sunday Recovery Session with Tony Shebeki, Stephen J. Beek and Troy Zantuck. For Allan Mance, driving satisfaction since 1978, call 1-800-ALLAN-MANCE. Have a nice
day. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to 1116 SEN, Melbourne's home of footy. Tony Shebeki back in the driver's chair for the Sunday recovery session. I apologise to everyone for the 3 weeks that I had off last year. Troy Zantuck, good morning to you.
Good morning to you, Shebeks. And as you said, great to have you back in the driver's seat. Good morning to Peaky and good morning to all our listeners and a very, very happy new year.
Good morning, Stephen.
Good morning, Tony. Look, no need to apologise.
It's much better to be on that side of the desk, isn't it?
Oh, look, yeah, look, I'm happy to do whatever I'm asked to be doing. You know, I'm very humble about that. So, great to see you here, of course. And you did. Look, you're entitled to have some time off.
Thank you, mate.
Feel free to take as much time off as you like.
I just might.
How did you rate Peaky's hosting?
No, I didn't hear it.
No, I'm asking. I'm not asking. You're asking Peaky.
Oh. How did I rate my efforts? Yeah.
Change the record.
Look, I would say that at times I can be a bit loose, a little bit loose. But apart
I was talking about your hosting.
Not your bowels.
But what I do is the best I can in all circumstances, which, I mean, it was an interesting one. The one I did, not on this show, but the Friday night show, 16 December, which had horse racing on, live cricket, and I think it had Big Bash Test cricket and horse racing on at the same time.
Thank goodness you had the calming influence of George Zanikin sitting across
from you. George was superb. It was a magnificent influence throughout the summer shows that we did do, Troy, and Troy was part of that. And George, as I said to someone, is like pouring molasses on toast. He's just absolutely fantastic.
We had an opportunity to taste that molasses, didn't we?
And I'm sure everybody around around Melbourne at the moment just pouring Friday molasses night on their toast. Yes. An interesting analogy, that one, Stephen.
Like
Troy and
silk.
Troy and I were George's guests at the Melbourne City versus Western Sydney Wanderers game on Friday night.
Yeah,
a great win for the Melbourne City and a fantastic function we had there in the Chairman's Club.
Absolutely
beautiful meal.
Brilliant.
Superb.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Crowd of 11,000.
11,000 there.
Very good crowd. And
good noise.
Ivan Franić putting one the back of the net. Ivan, if you don't mind, one of the goals of the A-League year.
Yeah, that was a great goal. A half volley from just outside the box and a cracking kick into the back of the net. So well done to the Melbourne City. Melbourne Victory also having a win overnight as well. So they keep their hopes of getting up to the top of the A-League ladder alive. Now only 4 points behind Sydney FC. And then on Thursday night, I went to the baseball. I took George to the baseball on Thursday night. So we've had a big weekend.
You've had a great week. Look, I do apologise. Actually, I owe George a phone call. I do apologise.
No,
George,
he's all right.
Yeah, I think he's okay with it.
He's fine.
Is he? And you,
I think he's actually changed his number. Did you get that?
It was in the busiest first week in January I think I've ever had as far
litigation.
I've had my legal work on top of that, as I did mention outside. Everybody knows this now that I'm part of the J34 Essendon Justice for the 34 campaign, which is now at federal level government, and I'm assisting with that. That's taken up time, emails, and investigations, so I'm very happy to be part of that.
Is that Sonny Bono?
Sonny Bono was a former American Senate leader.
Pro Bono.
Oh, pro Bono. Well, I've just become part of the, after having initial meeting, I'm just happy to assist in the interests of that campaign.
Well, it's good to hear that you're on the case.
Yeah, geez, they've got every chance now, haven't they?
Well, the main thing is if everyone pulls together, we've got a few good names and good people involved or whatever, we believe that we can get this to a Senate investigation hearing, and that's where we want it to end up.
Because and then yourself.
There's one thing bigger than the AFL in this country, and that's the federal government. So let's see how we go.
And what any other activities that we need to be
Yes, I do want to make it about an entertainment issue I wish to mention. That's the Falls Festival, which took place about just over a week ago.
That was the Crush, wasn't it?
Yeah, the Crush night or whatever it was, when they had bands playing. They had two popular bands playing, one on top of the other in another tent or whatever. And there was a crush where people allegedly tried to get out of one venue and then get to another venue in, like, super quick time, like running or moving too quickly from one to the other. Now, I don't know what more, and I don't want to damage anyone's prospects of litigation in a case like this. But let me say this. What more can a promoter do except provide the facilities that you can examine when you go in there and see where the entrances and the exits are, so you know where you are, position yourself. If you know there's another concert, position yourself down the back towards an out entrance, an exit, so you can get to that without being in a crush, push and shove or whatever it might be. It sounds like the group up the front of this thing just turned on the people behind them and just pushed forward and people got trampled.
So maybe the promoter should have just left a nice little comfy buffer between one concert and the other.
Yes, that might have been.
So you've got 15, 20 minutes between leaving there to get there.
30 minutes or whatever, but it seems like these young people can't wait until they get ingratiated by the next situation. So I don't know what more these people said. They've been working with police and insurance people and the lot over a lengthy period of time. What more they can do when people stampede? I don't see a clause in there, an anti-stampede clause or something like that.
The bushfires down there last year too, weren't they, during the Falls Festival?
Was it last year?
The year before.
When they had to change the venue. I think they had to change it to Geelong or Lara or somewhere up the coast there. Anybody knows when you go to a festival where there's no seating, and once you're inside, it's a bit like a bit of a free for all. Yeah, what you do is you look around. A competent concert goer looks around, carries out an examination, sees where the exits are, sees where the bathroom is, sees where everything is, without just rushing forward and going to this one, and then rushing around like a headless chook, and then getting themselves in a stampede situation. And that's what seems to have happened here.
Did you do New Year's Eve?
New Year's Eve, I had a pleasant, quiet dinner down at Albert Park with a couple of friends of mine, where over a period of time during the night, we nearly had the hotel to ourselves in the dining room because everyone kept leaving and going on to do whatever they're doing. And we actually had an area set aside really to ourselves.
So was it full when you were there initially?
It was. Yeah,
and then
slowly dissipated.
I didn't notice when I started arguing with my friends over the Essendon case, went for 2 hours, people around us seem to move away.
There's a surprise, Shebex. People seem to move away.
Tommy from Roeville has a question for you, Stephen. He's questioning your logic on physics, I think, or something like that. G'day, Tommy.
G'day, lads. How you going?
Tommy.
I'm actually just sitting here trying to think, how does that happen, Peaky? Now, there's people up the front of the concert.
Yep.
They want to get up the back, and you're trying to tell me they pushed everybody over from the people up the front.
I'm trying to work out how the stampede happened, Tommy, and to get people have to be pushed over, right? Now, the people who are up the front of the stage in, say, the mosh pit area, which is what it used to be called or might still be called, trying to get to the other concert, that it would appear to me they must have turned around. I'm trying to work out what's happened, must have turned around and pushed those people.
I'm being told it was like a funnel. There was only one exit, so there was... And it was a small exit at the front of the tent.
There was a
slope. So everyone that was inside was trying to get through that
into
small
that tunnel
little...
at the same time. Now, you'd think common sense, Tommy, you and I, we're men of common sense, would think that you'd look at that and say, right, there's 2,000, 3,000 trying to get through a gap that might take 3 abreast, that you'd go a bit quietly and just do it. But not this mob. They had to run at it or push at it, trample people to get to the next venue, which was some whatever number of metres away, and there was a sloping hill there or something where people fell down and more trampling. And
has Tom got a right to reply?
Tommy, what do you think of that?
That was exactly what Shebeki said, Peaky. What happened is they were actually trying to move to the side of the stage to go out through the funnel, and the people up the front actually slipped over, and the people over behind them probably just kept on walking up over the top of them. Very similar to what happened. It happens all the time. Even that Hillsborough one, people up behind just keep pushing and pushing and pushing, and the people up the front have got no control over what's happening because, like Shebeki said, the funnel was too small. It was the whole problem with the gates.
That's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the people at the front of the stage who are pushing, then turn around and pushing to get out.
So you got your fronts and your backs mixed up.
Yeah, we've got that's it. So the people you're saying are at the front of the queue in the exit area, they're actually at my back of the description I was giving Tommy.
No wonder you don't have a partner.
Sorry, Tom.
Tommy. Like they're going through the side of the exit, like to the side of the stage, like Troy said, to try to get to the next band in another area, and they've just been trampled over the top. That's how it's happened.
Look, as a lawyer, I'd be saying there's a massive amount of contributory negligence there, if not fully, pretty close to fully negligent, of the crowd.
Good on you, Tommy.
Good on you, Tommy.
And happy 2017 to you too, Stephen.
No one likes to see people get injured, Troy. But when I went to see the Hives and the Donners at the showgrounds about 11 years ago,
You had hives, and you saw Donna.
I went to see the Donnas and the hives.
I think Donna would have been too.
Well, don't worry about that.
Is that on New Year's Eve?
Donna's plural and the hives plural. The magnificent Swedish band and the magnificent all-female rock and roll machine from Palo Alto, California. They were on at the Big Day Out 2005 at the Showgrounds. Right. Now, when I got inside, I had a look around.
You were at the Big Day Out.
Yeah, it's when I was vibe. I was then 50 years of age, 51 years of age. Well, I was the oldest person there nearly.
By 30 years?
Not by 30, but probably by 15, 16. There were some slightly older people there than your normal run of the mill.
We've got an even older person than you waiting on the phone.
I had a look around.
Get on with it!
I saw where the entrances and exits were. I saw where the bathrooms were.
Look, you can tell this story another time.
And I stayed away from the crush. I went to the side of the area.
In your own time.
I had a get-out clause, Tony. I had a get-out area. There was no way I was going to get... I did have my toes trampled on once by a bloke who was dancing in front of me, but apart from that, I didn't get...
Shut your dang power.
I didn't get... I had a bruised big toe by the time I left. That was the only injury I had out of the whole thing.
Well, one man that was crushed in the stampede of the Beatles at Festival Hall back in 1966 was Jeff Poulter, and he joins us on the line. Good morning, Jeffrey. Happy New Year.
How old was I when I first saw it all, Rivers? I can't remember when he went around. Morning, Tone and Troy and Stephen.
Morning, Jeffrey.
Jeffrey, have you ever been trampled at a concert?
Oh, gee. I misread Steve Smudge Smith's comments when he said before the Hobart test that the team was in a good place. Hobart, good place? No better place, naturally. But no, the captain was using the modern vernacular cliche about the state of the team. Well, he was about half right after losing that test. About half of that team, with about half adders, has won its past four tests, one versus South Africa and three versus Pakistan. Let's hope they're in a good place when they play in India in February, March. As for the weather in the Hobart test, not much different at the Melbourne and Sydney test, eh? Well, now, the new Australian opening batting combination of day one test hundreds in Sydney have the well-publicised nicknames Bull, David Warner, self-explanatory, and Turtle, Matt Renshaw, slow to emerge from his shell. So, a quick search to assemble Australia's test team down the ages of players with animals and creature nicknames.
Oh, nice.
Most Australian test players had nicknames, but not a lot in these categories. We managed to unearth enough. The team is Bull Warner, Turtle Renshaw, Bob Wallaby Cowper, Michael Pup Clark, Greg Fat Cat Ritchie, Graham Beetle Watson, Bruce Roo Yardley, Alan Froggy Thompson, Bill Tiger O'Reilly, and Glenn Pigeon McGrath, with a keeper, Wally Grizzly Bear Grout, with Ryan Rhino Harris, 12th man. Now, the reserves are Ian Mad Dog Callan, Hunter Stork Hendry, and Bruce Mule Yardley. Hence again, the team, Bull Turtle Wallaby, Pup Fat Cat Beetle, Roo Frog Tiger, Grizzly Pigeon, and Rhino.
Excellent.
Now, two observations. If David Warner can graduate from a slogging 2020 star to a prolific scoring test opening batsman in 5 or 6 years, surely six-hitting Chris Lynn could develop into a test middle order batsman. And Farwood Ahmed's control and economy for a leg spinner in the recent big batch matches have been outstanding. I rate him the best spinner in Australia, alas, it seems, with not enough supporters. Just a couple to end with. Troy, as Mick Jagger once said to me, Jeffrey, don't go around dropping names.
Yes.
And Tony,
yes.
When Smokey Dawson comes on, ask him that if Matt Wade yells, nice Gary, and Ian Healy used to say, bowling Shane, ask Smokey, because he's about the only guy who's older than me on the show, what did the great Wally Grout say to Richie Benaud?
All right.
Have a good show.
We'll find out. Good on you, Jeffrey. Good to have you back on for 2017. A break, boys. And the great Smokey Dawson, the elder statesman of the team, Smokey Dawson.
The Sunday Recovery Session with Tony Shebeki, Stephen J. Peak, and Troy Zantuck. For Allan Mance, driving satisfaction since 1978. Call 1-800-ALLAN-MANCE.
SEN, Melbourne's home of sport. And Troy, we've been speaking about the last couple of days. You've been having lunch down at the beautiful Dorset and Fawcett or Dundas and Forsyth.
Absolutely.
I should say.
Get it right. 2017 and New Year. Breakfast, absolutely magnificent, Tone. And you know where to go. It's 1-1-1. Lord Nelson. Dundas Place, Albert Park, Dundas and Fawcett Cafe, the Eggs Benedict on a day like today, absolutely magnificent. The five grains porridge, which you've tried, superb. I tell you what.
I had two servings of it to make it 10 grains.
It's the place to be in Albert Park. It is where the stars align for fabulous food and wine. Do yourself a flavour favour. Get down there today and have a magnificent breakfast.
Dundas and Fawcett, a beautiful place to go. Smokey Dawson will join us in just a sec. We'll wrap up just what has happened in the last test up in Sydney, where Australia wrapped up a 3-0 clean sweep of Pakistan to win four matches in a row. We should also mention two big bash action overnight. Kevin Peterson leading the Melbourne Stars to a thumping 46-run win over the Renegades in their big bash derby last night at Etihad Stadium. Peterson belted 73 from 46, Troy. A great effort by him. The Stars posting 7 for 200. And then the Renegades, well, they came out firing with Aaron Finch, but just weren't good enough.
Tremendous crowd too, Shebex. 44,189. A record for the Etihad Stadium as far as the derbies go.
Yes, correct.
Tremendous crowd. Great atmosphere. And as you said, KP, 73 off 46. But what got the Stars kick-started, in my opinion, Bob Quiney. A quick fire, 51 off 30 balls. He was incredible. Great to see him back in form after a slight hamstring strain. And a few cameos there. Maxwell, 24 off 17. And David Hussey run out, 27 off 11 balls. He was was a nice little cameo there from the captain.
It was Kevin Peterson's ninth half century in 20 BBL appearances.
He's been on an incredible run of 50s, yeah.
Heat on top with 8 points. The Scorchers and Sixers both on 6 points, second and third. And then the Melbourne Stars, one game in hand. All those other teams have played five. They've got four games down. They're in fourth place on 4 points and a much better run rate than the Sixers and the Scorchers. So the Stars get up in their next game. I think they actually head up to play the Sixers up in Sydney in the next couple of days. Could make their way into second place on the ladder. So the Stars just start to turn it around. Good on them for doing it.
The Stars actually host Adelaide, the Adelaide Strikers.
Yes.
At the MCG on Tuesday.
Oh, there you go. I'm at that one. There you go.
You there?
I knew they were playing a team with an S. That's at the MCG. I better go to that game. I'm working. And also Sydney Thunder will blood two new international players in their trip south to take on Hobart Hurricanes. West Indies T20 World Cup winning hero Carlos Braithwaite, no relation to Daryl, replaces... It's actually Brathwaite, not Braithwaite either, so that's even a different thing. It replaces Andre Russell, who's out with a hamstring, and England batsman James Vince has been named to take over from Owen Morgan, who did a number on the Stars just the other night. Smokey Dawson joins us on the line to talk about everything that has been happening in the world of cricket, and most importantly, the Test series that Australia has just wrapped up 3-0 against Pakistan. A very good morning to you, Graham.
Yes, good morning, Tony. On this program, Happy New Year. Well, we did converse regularly during the week.
We did.
Your morning program, just showing your versatility. I think we're comparing you now with Keith Beller and Garfield Sobers and Ian Botham and Kapil Dev and Imran Khan. You're up there with the elite all-rounders of the world.
Well, I appreciate that. And we had the question asked from Jeff Poulter to pass on to you. I'm not sure whether you heard it on the radio before we... Before you came on air with us.
My son yelled out there going to ask you a question. Yeah. I had been listening, but I disappeared to do something else.
So the question was, if Wade is saying, nice one, Gary, to Gary Lyon, and, of course, we used to have Ian Healy and the like, and Adam Gilchrist used to say, bold, Shane. What did Wally Grout used to say to Richie Beno on a good ball?
Probably not much, but that's a very good question. Did Jeffrey know the answer?
No, he didn't. He thought because you were actually older than him.
That... Well, that's probably right too. But
you
mate.
It would just be a nice one, Skipper.
I had the pleasure and privilege of playing golf with Richie a couple of times, and he always rated Wally as the best keeper. I suppose it was the same. And Sir Donald rated Don Tallon as the best keeper because they were the chaps that they played with. But going back to the days that when Wally was keeping to Richie, there was not a lot of chatter going on out there. A little bit, but nowhere near to the same extent as happened in more recent times. But it'd be well bowled Richie, I'd imagine, or Skipper.
Skipper, would have been, there would have been respect for the position, surely.
Yeah, absolutely, because even in later years, I can remember being in the company, and I'm sorry to name drop, but it's just to give you an example, with Ian Johnson, the late Ian Johnson, who was captain of the team that toured England in 56, with Richie and Alan Davidson, and they all just referred, Richie and Davo referred to him as Skipper.
Yeah.
And I was in the same situation with those guys and Lindsay Hassett, and Lindsay took them to England in 53, and they'd say, "Well, yes, Skip, what do you think?" Skip, yeah, it was Skip or Skipper.
Yeah.
So that would be right, absolutely. Well bowled, Skip.
There you go, Troy.
Smokey, how did you see the final day against Pakistan? I thought Hazelwood, economic and a wicket taker, 3 for 29 off 18 overs. Incredible bowling.
Yeah, he's economical rate and his meanness. He's getting more like Glenn McGrath.
Yes.
Than Glenn McGrath by the day. I mean, that was a feature of Glenn's bowling. And the pressure builds and the pressure mounts and... He's really an integral part of that team. I mean, Stark, it's a good combination because Stark can be a little bit more all over the shop, but of course he has that ability to bowl on a reasonably regular basis, pretty much the unplayable ball. But with the pressure building at the other end, and the batsmen are then more likely, if they want to score, to take a risk against Stark, which will help to get him. We've seen it in the past with blokes like Glenn McGrath, of course, and I can remember the classic. Peaky would be old enough to remember when Ryan Statham in the 50s for England was a magnificent foil, firstly for Frank Tyson out here in 54-5, and later on Freddie Truman, who they worked beautifully in tandem. Statham, you know, Hazelwood McGrath type pace. Could put it on a bloody sixpence. Yeah, absolutely. And so it gave the batsman very little opportunity to get runs. And they said, oh, gee, we've got to have a go at Freddie or Typhoon. And bad luck, son, you're out. And because they could bowl, and they could bowl quick.
No, you're spot on, Smoke. No doubt about that. Now,
Happy New Year to you, Smokey. No doubt about you. You've been keeping an extremely low profile. It's lovely to have you back in town.
It's a deliberate action by the station.
I had a busy year up to the 30th of December, Smoke, but then I became intertwined and embroiled in other matters away from here.
I did hear you make reference to that, so I'll leave you.
Leave that alone for the moment.
I leave you to keep being embroiled, and I wish you good luck. I think it's a very worthwhile cause you're on.
Thank you very much, Smokey, and I'm doing my level best there, so I've had to add that to my list of duties. And it's been a busy year, but I haven't been that busy where I haven't been taking track of what's been going on with the test side and with the potential team going to India. And I've heard these rumours about possibly dropping Renshaw to bring Marsh in after Renshaw's magnificent form as an opener, because they think, oh, well, he hasn't been to India before and the other guy's done well over there and all this. But look, you and I fought the lone battle to get this team changed, to have those massive sackings and to get these young blood in, and the blood is now performing.
A lone battle. I think we were on board with you,
No,
too.
You weren't. You weren't on board with
Who
that.
Who wanted Peter Hanscom in the test team?
We went for six sackings in one go. You guys didn't back us on that.
You know, these Johnny come latelys, they can come on board later, but that's all right. We've got long memories.
I like the way you rewrite history.
I've got a memory like an elephant when it comes to this stuff, Smokey.
I'm sure he will be in the touring party. I think what the coach apparently said publicly, whether it was yesterday or the day before, that he's no guarantee to play in the test match. He will have to be in the touring party. Yeah. I would suggest that they will take an extra batsman.
At least.
And I would think they would be looking at maybe two, because I have a feeling that Mr. Cartwright might become a one-test wonder.
Yeah.
I'd be surprised if he went to India. that Sean Marsh will certainly be in the touring
party. In the team,
party.
Yeah. They need 17 to 20.
Well, yeah, that was, well, yeah, goodness gracious me. Anyway, so that then means, well, young Renshaw can open the batting and Sean Marsh, who plays a spin and has had plenty of experience playing in India, might well come into the number six position, and I wouldn't see anything wrong with that.
I've always called for extra men travelling the subcontinent, Smoke, for the simple reason that one or two normally get some difficulties with their food consumption.
Why don't we just take every Sheffield Shield batsman over there?
No, but I'm talking about the extra loss of players who go through stomach palpitations.
You can relate to that.
Matthew Wade was having stomach palpitations as well.
That was in Sydney.
Exactly. Now, Smoke, I'm going to throw four questions at you, and I just want single-word answers. So this is just like, you know, off the top of the head stuff. Nathan Lyon, Steve O'Keefe are certainties to go to India. Who joins them, Ashton Agar or Glenn Maxwell?
Oh, is that the choice?
Well, I don't think Agar will go. Maxwell will be in the touring party, but I still think they might look at taking a leg spinner as well.
Fawad Ahmed?
Should, but he's not playing Shield cricket, so it's very hard to pick him if he's not playing Shield cricket. I still think he's the best leg spinner in the country.
Who's our glovesman? Is it Matthew Wade or Peter Neville?
Again, Wade will retain his place in my mind, but I think it should be Neville.
And can you believe that we've actually got three T20s and a one-day series against New Zealand while we're playing Test cricket over in India?
Well, no, I can't. The scheduling is an absolute disgrace. We've organised to go to New Zealand. I mean, what we should be doing is playing Pakistan five one-dayers, which is part of the, obviously, there's contractual issues with Channel 9 to provide them with X number of test matches and X number of one-dayers and X number of international T20s. So, but at the back end of the five one-dayers, what normally happens is then we have the T20s. They should be against Pakistan the next week. Mm. And the New Zealand business should be... Yeah, that should...
So just to bring people...
And then the boys, okay, if the test squad, they want to have give them a rest from the T20s, then they go off and get their acclimatisation. But be playing T20s... the third of the T20s on the day before the first test match starts in India. I mean, if I was Channel 9, I'd be saying, well, I want a discount of half the fee we're paying for that because you've got the third or fourth 11 in. Absolute disgrace.
And the week before that, effectively. So as soon as the one day is start finish against Pakistan, which is Australia Day at Adelaide, Australia then go over to New Zealand for a week one day.
I read somewhere, and you know, I'm only quoting what I saw in the press, that it was some arrangement made by Mr. Sutherland and the CEO of Cricket New Zealand that they'd get a bit more regularity in the Chapel Hadley Trophy fixtures, and I think probably as a result of clashing in the World Cup final at the G in March. It's 2 years ago nearly now. Doesn't time fly? And but to pop those games in here in December and then... For us to have to go over to New Zealand, oh, jeez, give me a break, Tony. It's crazy scheduling. I hope a little bit of normality. It should get a little bit more back to normal next season because it's an Ashes tour, and I think that we'll see England play five tests, their quota of one-dayers and their quota of T20. So that'll help, makes it a bit easier.
And man of the series, Steve Smith, joining exalted company Smoker after 50 tests, now averaging over 60.
Yes, I saw that, Zanners, and he's got the best for 50 test matches, and dare I say it, second on the averages list is the late and great Ken Barrington, who's 58.67, I think, and Walter Hammond is just below him, but... I affectionately call Ken my bunny because I got him out twice with the one ball.
Is that right?
Ago. Yes, caught behind and stumped. And I rushed over and said, bad luck, Ken, I'm going to dine out on that for the rest of my life. And he said, go for your life, Smoke, you did me. I said, yeah, I don't know how I did, but I did.
The great after-dinner conversation.
Yeah, I was.
Beautiful.
What a great player and what a great bloke. So he was what they called assistant manager, coach of the England Ashes team in 78-9, and a wonderful social game that the Harlequin Rugby Club put on with those that weren't playing from the touring party, and Doug Insole was the manager, played, and Jonathan Agnew opened the bowling for them because he was here on a Whitbread scholarship, and we had a media 11, and it was... Yeah, it was good fun.
Good on you, Smoke. Always great to talk to you, mate. Yeah. We'll do it next Sunday morning on the morning of the One Day International against Pakistan at the MCG.
Thank goodness you and I will be in our home in the black shorts, Tony.
Something different.
Yes.
Good on you, mate.
See you, boys. Have a great week.
Thanks Smoke. Graeme Smokey Dawson bringing us up to date with everything that's happening in the world of cricket. Mouse off the SMS says, I wouldn't play Matt Renshaw in horrendous conditions in India as he's only a young kid. Shaw Marsh plays. Renshaw goes on tour as a learning experience, but he's got plenty of time to do that. It could be true too. I mean, you get over there and those sort of conditions could just wreck someone's future. So,
well,
something to be mindful of.
Yeah, mindful of, but let the kid play in the first test, and if he doesn't come through or has trouble, then you can make your changes. But you cannot drop a bloke who's averaging over whatever he's averaging at this point in time. He's flying.
It is 17 minutes to 10 here on 11:16 SEN. Craig Harper and his team coming on with the Science of Sport after 10 o'clock, and then from 11 o'clock, BP with the first serve tennis show before a big afternoon of Sports Central here on Sunday. If you're following the NFL, we're in wildcard playoffs at the moment, and I can tell you that the Houston Oilers are up at the moment. They are 13-7 over Oakland with 7.5 to go in the second quarter. That is the first of the playoff games that's being played at the moment. Some other news around also. Jason Day is headlining 14 players within 5 shots of the lead in the Tournament of Champions in Maui at 12 under par. Americans Justin Thomas and Ryan Moore enter the final day in the 32-man event with a 1-shot buffer over Patrick Reed and Jimmy Walker. And then lurking at the first US PGA Tour event of 2017, big names like Day, Jason Duffner, and also Hideki Matsuyama. So good luck to Jason Day as he tees off on that final day. Novak Djokovic has defeated Andy Murray in the final in the Qatar Open in Doha, 6-3, 5-7, 6-4. Interesting comments, Troy, by Novak Djokovic in the last couple of days.
Yes, so declaring that he has no intention of disappearing anytime soon. Shebexin believes that he can play up until the age of 40.
40.
The Joker. Oh,
well, he's pretty fit and strong. And
what's Federer now? He's 36, 37?
Is he that old? Excuse me. I don't think so. I don't think he's that old.
Yeah, I think he is 36, 37,
yeah. 34, I would have thought. But he's come out and said he's fine as far as fitness is concerned as well. But, well, that's the name
Federer
of the game.
Federer is 35.
Okay. Sammy Stosur is 32. She says she reckons she's got another 3 years in at the women's level and has got no intention of retiring after...
Well, she could play for another 30 years if she doesn't mind getting knocked out in the first round every week like she does.
Well, look, you've got to give sports women and men credit when they're... And she may not be an ultra champion, but she's certainly a star. Oh. And she's trying her guts out when she gets here and all over the world to try and win tournaments.
Great to see Serena in town, Peaky.
It's the best you can do. Well, actually, you'd agree with me on my comments about Sam Stosur.
Engaged. Are you gutted?
Yeah, gutted.
Were you
gutted about what?
That Serena. She's engaged.
Oh, engaged. No, look, good luck to her. And if that helps, you do what you need to help. It's just part of her life. And at least, I'll tell you what, I'll give her a pat on the back. She's doing that at 35 towards the end of her career. Not at the start. And putting family troubles and responsibilities on her head when she's trying to run a major sporting career. And that is, she gets a massive credit, another tick from me. She just keeps on doing the right thing.
Hey, boys, there's a massive tournament being played down here in Melbourne, and it is the 2017 Junior Futsal Oz Nationals.
Oh, yes.
And founder and CEO of Futsal Oz, Peter Parthimios, joins us on the line. G'day, Peter.
G'day, how you going?
Very well, thank you, mate. Tell us about this 5-day tournament, the 2017 Junior Futsal Oz Nationals.
Yes, we've got kids as young as 7 years old all the way to 21 competing against all the states, the national competition. We've got South Australia, Western Australia, New South Wales, Queensland and Victoria. Coming down here to Melbourne, Thomastown and Brunswick are the two stadiums over 5 days. And, it's a knockout competition. They play in the group stage, roughly about 6 or 7 games over 5 days, and you go straight to the finals. High intensity, it's action-packed. You've got the parents on the sideline, you've got fans coming in. It's great. I mean, the weather's hot, but the action on the court is super hot. It's great.
Peter, how many players have you got involved coming in, particularly from interstate and locally? Sounds like a fairly high number.
Yeah, there's about 600 parents, about 100 officials. There's about 30-odd state teams coming in. A lot of them are local as well. It's quite a large number. This time of year, a lot of people are on holidays. So some of the interstaters are choosing to have a sports holiday here in Melbourne. I mean, as a parent, it's not much of a holiday. Some of the parents are pretty stressed out on the sidelines, but it's a great to watch as a new tour. It's fantastic.
Just on the history of futsal, Peter, its origins.
Yes, it was accidentally invented in Uruguay in 1930. The pitches were all soaked and water, like we get here in winter. And they thought, we can't stop training. These players started to develop some good skills. So they put the ball indoor. Now, on a basketball court, they set up two goals on each end. And they worked out that, their skills were developing a lot quicker in the sharp, short areas. So, then they thought, when the weather got better, they thought, we'd better continue this. So that evolved. Some people liked it and thought, why don't we make a sport out of it? And over the years, it's evolved. It's had its ups and downs, like every other sport. It's divided in areas. But, it's made a few, it's popped its head up. And, now in Australia, it's popped it up. We're leading the charge here as Futsal Oz. And, it's a great sport. And as being a great sports radio station, you see the game football in general is growing all over the world, particularly in Australia now.
And Peter, there's a fantastic pathway now for kids through Futsal Oz also, isn't there? They can make it, as you said, you've got so many kids now playing in this tournament. They then go through to series futsal, which is sort of like the ultimate level of futsal in Australia, and then also the opportunity to represent your country overseas.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Definitely a pathway. It's getting more clearer now, yeah. They start as young as, some can start as young as 2.5, 3 years old in a preschool, and they can work their way up to the semi-professional leagues of Series Futsal Victoria and Series Futsal Australia. They're getting a lot better as we're going. Obviously, the sport's about, really 10 years old, starting, in Australia, and it's starting to get a lot better. And, in the next 5 to 10 years, we'll have a pro league. And, of course, the pathways are starting to, improve. And you could see the players taking a lot more serious now, and a few really good, you can see 15, 16, 17-year-old kids coming through that are, they're going to be world-class, absolutely world-class.
And, Peter, the public can turn up and watch. Is there ticket sales? How are you financing the operation? How does the finance work out? And is there the public can turn up and watch at the venues that you have for the tournament?
Yeah, the venue is absolutely free to come in. The way we finance is it's partly done through Futsal Oz over the year. We collect money and add it to it. Plus, there is an entry fee for the clubs and the teams that come in.
Yep.
They combine that together. We finance it. It's free to come in. We have it open to the public. But when you talk about serious futsal at the high level where the seniors play, there are ticket sales. We have massive events. We have Futsal Oz Live where we had Fakal, Douglas Costa, and these big-name players, Sean Garnier, who are one of the best freestylers in the world. You have to pay for those events. Yeah, but it's getting a lot more professional, and you can see that not only are the players taking it serious, but they're a fan. They're seriously getting involved.
Good on you, Peter. We wish you all the best with the 2017 Junior Futsal Oz Nationals being held at Brunswick and Thomastown. And thanks for your time this morning.
My pleasure. Doing a great job. Thanks, Dave.
Good on you, mate. Thanks. Appreciate all that, right. Peter. It really is a sleeping giant, futsal.
It is, Dave.
In the world of sport, there's an opportunity, as I said, for kids to go through the levels and represent your country. And if you do that in any sport, it's a real honour.
It is an honour.
No doubting that. It is 10 minutes to 10 o'clock. Peaky, we should have a chat about our great friends at Alan Mance, because no year goes past without Alan Mance offering a fantastic deal on a whole range of cars. And this is an opportunity to start your 2017 by cruising into one of the Alan Mance dealerships.
Oh, look, you've set it up for me, Tony, but I'm going to change the type of car here, because
you had a cruise out there before.
Well, I did, but I've changed it to this. Don't go into the new year in a state of malaise. Get down to Alan Mance to purchase the new Holden Calais. The car is ready. There's no delay. You'll be happy. Don't be a dill. With New Year, continuous cheer, there's a cry. Hats off to Phil. Phil Mance, that is. Finance and insurance all done on the spot. Alan Mance is a one-stop shop. Footscray, Melton, Bacchus Marsh. Mance Mania, of course, as you know, has a hold of me here, baby, because Alan Mance is driving satisfaction.
Fascinating.
It is fascinating. I want to know how hello... What was the word before Phil? In the third line.
Hats off to Phil.
No, hang on. Go through the start again.
You'll be happy, don't be a dill.
Yeah.
With New Year's cheer, there is a cry, hats off to Phil.
Yeah, nice. Beautiful. Yeah. What's next?
I said Philip Mance, that is.
No, at the start.
A finance at the start.
Read the first four lines.
Don't go into the new year in a state of malaise.
Yeah.
And get down to Alan Mance to purchase a new Holden Calais.
Beautiful. What's next?
What's next is the cars are ready, there is no delay. Because
yes.
I actually don't know the price of the new Holden Calais at the moment. And then after that, you'll be happy, don't be a dill. With New Year's cheer, there's a cry, hats off to Phil.
Hmm.
What do you think of that?
No, fantastic. Did you write it?
I did write it, yes. Yeah. Very creative of me.
And, of course, Troy, once you jump in your new Holden Calais, you wouldn't want to drive around like Danny Ricciardo because the cops will be right on you.
A nice segue there, Shebex, yes.
Well, at least you've got the right hand.
You're talking about Ricciardo's in Albert Park. The mouth-watering specials this week include the white veal lasagna, casserole veal in a white wine sauce, fresh herbs with a scoop of bechamel, nutmeg and mushroom layered with pasta and pesto to send you into la-la-la lasagna land. Ricciardo's Trattoria, a cornucopia of fine food. Thank you.
Did you write that?
Of course, I write everything.
So much
like...
better than his. So la-la-la lasagna land. So that works.
And in English, too.
Why don't you go with car-car-car-Calais land?
No, because I don't copy Troy. He doesn't copy me. We do our things differently.
Thank God for that.
The Sunday Recovery Session with Tony Shebeke, Stephen J. Peake and Troy Zantuck. For Alan Mance, driving satisfaction since 1978. Call 1-800-ALAN-MANCE.
It is 4 minutes to 10, and of course, Yellow Door always open for your business.
Oh, plenty of good food to be had at Yellow Door at this time of year there, Tony, because the summer menu is out. There's plenty of fresh sushi daily. There's the Mega Healthy Akai Bowl. You can start the day with a Bloody Mary or get a char-grilled calamari salad, all happening at Albert Park at Yellow Door there. Enjoy the all-weather courtyard in Albert Park, and it's family and dog-friendly with the free Wi-Fi available as well. Yellow Door, with the your calls. Come to relax.
Melbourne United going down to the Illawarra Hawks, 106-88, and the Sydney Kings continuing their bad run at the moment as well. Had a chance to speak to Gazy during the week. He thought everything was okay. I might have to give him a call back and say, mate, that's not the case. Perth Wildcats 80, Sydney Kings 74, so Adelaide 36ers now on top of the ladder. The Melbourne United team, which was last, made their way to second and now back down to fourth on the NBL table. A little bit of work to be done there. We should also mention the A-League results from the weekend. Troy, Perth Glory 2, Wellington Phoenix 1, Melbourne City 1, West Sydney Wanderers 0, Newcastle Jets 3, Brisbane Roar 2, Victory 2, with Troisi and Berisha scoring overnight. Adelaide didn't score. Sydney FC now on 33 points on top. Melbourne Victory on 29, Melbourne City on 23, Brisbane Roar 21, Perth Glory 17, and Newcastle Jets now into the top six on 16 points.
Yeah, great great victory from the Newcastle Jets, the 3-2 victory over the Brisbane Roar. Beaten them twice this year, Shebex, and they're going well, the Newcastle Jets, and the leading goal scorers in the A-League.
Yep.
On 11, Bessart Berisha, on 10, Bruno Fornaroli, 9, Marco Rojas, and on 8, Alex Brosk from Sydney and Roy Krishna from Wellington.
Has he got a beard?
Who's that?
Roy Krishna.
No, I think Roy's clean shaven.
Oh, it would have made him hairy Krishna, wouldn't it?
Sometimes I know where you're going, but I just hope you don't get to your destination.
I saw that coming.
Yeah.
Parents are under a bit of pressure,
now,
Tony.
Now have a listen to this. Hang on. Yeah. Have a listen to this.
Yeah.
Mikey, any time you want to play it, that's fine. Oh, that's all right. We'll get back to it. What do you say?
Parents under pressure, hardworking parents like yourself, Tony, who raise money through sausage sizzles at their local school.
Yes. Oh, it's food again. Sausage sizzles.
Now something. Being audited by the state government.
No.
What?
Sausage sizzle money that's raised for school activities, sporting activities, now being audited. It's been touted by
this
the
is
state
outrageous.
Take a good hard look at yourself, government.
Well, they need to, because parents are feeling insulted
they're
by
donations.
The suggestion they can't be trusted.
They're donations.
The sausage sizzle. Can't even have that now without the government official breathing down. You're trying to raise money, say, to buy some cricket bats or footballs for your school. It's just shocking. That's government out of control when there are other more serious issues for them.
We need to run for government, Peaky.
Well, I'll tell you what, you might be right, Tony.
We need to get you in.
Yeah. Just rethink what you just said.
No, we need to get him in. Have a listen to this.
Oh, look, you've set it up for me, Tony, but I'm going to change the type of car here because... I've changed it to this. Don't go into the new year in a state of malaise. Get down to Ellen Mans to purchase the new Holden Calais. The car is ready. There's no delay. You'll be happy. Don't be a dill. With New Year's cheer, there's a cry. Hats off to Phil. Phil Mans, that is. Finance and insurance all done on the spot. Ellen Mans is a one-stop...
That's where it is. It was where you said don't be a dill because you made that another sentence.
Yeah, well, that was in the original.
But Dill didn't work with delay.
No, but Dill worked with Phil. Sorry, Phil, I didn't mean it that way. I said, don't be a Dill. Hats off to Phil.
No, but Dill didn't work with delay. That's what I'm saying.
It wouldn't work with
great
delay.
Great start of the year, boys.
It was fantastic, Troy. Catch you next week, Stephen.
And Tony, Troy.